If you take your Bibles, please, and turn back to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, beginning of verse 13. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Again, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning verse 13. Writing to the Ephesians as he's finishing his book, his letter, Paul writes, "Therefore, because of the war with Satan, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." As we consider the armor of God this morning, let's go to him in prayer first, shall we? Father, once again, as we come to some rather familiar verses, Lord, I pray this morning that you will speak to each one of us and you apply something to us that we've never thought of, never heard of before. Lord, may we hear what you would have us to hear. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Sooner or later, every believer discovers that the Christian life is a battlefield and not a playground. Emphasizing this, Paul wrote back in Ephesians 6, verse 12, "Our struggle," or we said last week, "our hand-to-hand combat is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." 2 Corinthians chapter 10 adds, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world." A Christian cannot fight in the power of his own flesh and blood. He needs special equipment, spiritual equipment, God's armor. As he brought the applied Christianity portion of his letter to a close, Paul commanded believers to put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. God has supplied the armor, but each Christian must put on the full armor of God themselves. And since no one knows exactly when or where or how the enemy will attack, he needs to have on all of God's armor all the time. In today's scripture, Paul wrote of six pieces of armor with which God supplies his children so that we can withstand the attacks of Satan and his army. The first piece of armor is the belt or the girdle of truth. As Paul is writing this, he was chained to a guard, to a soldier. So he looked at the soldier, he could see these things. And the soldier always wore a tunic, an outer garment that served as his primary clothing. It was usually made of a large square piece of material with holes cut in for the head and for his arms. And ordinarily, it hung loosely over the soldier's body. But such a loose tunic would be a hindrance, even a danger in hand-to-hand combat. So before battle, the soldier would carefully pull this up and tuck it into behind his belt so it would not get in the way. Just as a Roman soldier used his belt to prepare for battle, a victorious Christian uses the belt of truth to prepare for battle. In 2 Corinthians 2:15, God's word is called the word of truth. Knowing God's truth, God's word, is essential for the believer in his battle against the schemes of Satan. Then, as Ephesians 4:14 says, "We will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming." As Jesus said in John 8, verse 32, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Christians, we must know God's truth. We must know the Bible. The belt of truth also seems to refer to an attitude of truthfulness. This is the mark of a true believer who is neither a hypocrite nor a deceiver. In Matthew 5, verse 37, Jesus said, "Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no,
Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. A believer of integrity or of truthfulness with a clear conscience is ready to face the enemy without fear. In John 8:44, Jesus said that Satan is the father of lies. But the believer whose life is controlled by truth will be able to defeat the liar. Christians must live a life of truth. They must live a life of truth before they can be ready for their struggle. And once a lie gets into the life of a believer, all is lost. The second piece of armor is a breastplate of righteousness. No Roman soldier would go into battle without his breastplate, a tough, sleeveless piece of armor that covers his body from the neck down to his waist, both in the front and in the back. Its purpose was to protect the vital organs like the heart, the lungs. Believers really have two kinds of righteousness. When a person makes Jesus his Lord and Savior, he is made righteous in God's eyes. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we may become the righteousness of God. This is called an imputed or accredited righteousness. The instant a person believes in Christ, Christ's righteousness makes a believer right in God's eyes. Every Christian has this righteousness from God. It doesn't have to be put on. This is not the breastplate of righteousness. 1 Peter 1:15 says, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. This is the righteousness that Christians must put on. To have the breastplate of righteousness in place means to live in a daily, moment-to-moment obedience to our Heavenly Father, to be holy in all that we do. This part of God's armor, the breastplate of righteousness, is holy living, is righteous living. God supplies the standard and the power, but each Christian must apply the willingness. One must put on this practical or daily living through his day-to-day thoughts, through his day-to-day actions. Every believer must live a righteous or a holy life. Satan is the accuser, but he cannot accuse a believer who's living a godly life in the power of the Holy Spirit. The life one lives either strengthens him against Satan's attacks or makes it easier for the devil to attack and defeat him. When Satan accuses the Christian, it's the righteousness of Christ that assures the believer of his salvation. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says a person isn't saved by works, but by his faith. But if we lack righteousness in our daily life, we give Satan opportunities to attack us, to hurt us, to hurt our witness to others. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul kind of wrote about this righteous living, an attitude. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning of verse 3. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3, Paul writes, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, and yet possessing everything. Unholy, unrighteous living doesn't rob one of salvation, but it robs him of salvation's joys, including the ability to witness to others, to share the gospel with others. For that reason, Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2:11, "Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens, as strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul." The third piece of armor is the shoes of the gospel of peace. The Roman soldier wore sandals with bits of metal or nails in the soles to give him greater traction in a variety of situations. If a Christian is going to stand and withstand the enemy, then he needs the shoes of the gospel of peace. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Believers are at peace with God, but the unsaved person is helpless, sinful, an enemy of God. We must be prepared every day to share the gospel of peace with a lost world. 1 Peter 3:15 reminds us by saying, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give their reason, a reason for the hope that you have." A victorious Christian is a witnessing Christian. If we wear the shoes of the gospel of peace, then as Isaiah 52:7 says, we will have beautiful feet. Satan has declared war, but we are ambassadors of peace. We are to take the gospel of peace wherever we go. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said to go to the ends of the earth. Then the fourth piece of honor, the shield of faith. The shield Paul was visualizing was a rather large shield. Paul says it was about 2.5 feet wide and 4.5 feet high. It was designed to protect the whole body of a soldier. The shield was made of a solid piece of wood, was covered with metal or oiled leather. As a soldier held it in front of his body, it protected him from spears, from arrows, from fiery darts. The shield of faith isn't saving faith, but rather living faith, a trust in the promises and the power of God. Promises like Philippians 4:7 that says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Or James 1:17 that says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." Or Ephesians 1:3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." All of God's promises are the Christian's shield of faith. We need to trust in the promises of God. Faith is a defensive weapon. It protects us from Satan's fiery darts or arrows. In Paul's day, again, these arrows were dipped into some kind of flammable substance, ignited, and were shot at the enemy. The metal, the leather covering, was unable to ignite. Similarly, Satan shoots fiery arrows at our hearts, at our minds. Lies, hateful thoughts about others, doubts, burning desires to sin, pride, fear. Faith in God and his promises will extinguish thoughts of doubt or of fear or any other dart that Satan sends. The only way to put out these darts, these arrows, is to trust God. David had all kinds of issues, and he trusted God. Turn to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. Psalm 18, begin verse 1. Psalm 18, verse 1. David writes, "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies." 1 John 5:4 says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world." This is a victory that's overcome the world, even our faith. Not knowing when Satan will send an arrow or a dart, if we are continually walking by faith, these darts will be harmless. Faith protects us from Satan's attacks. Then there's a helmet of salvation. Satan often attacks the mind like he did to Eve. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul wrote, "I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your mind may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ." To deceive us, to attack our minds, Satan points at our failures, our sins, our unresolved problems, our poor health, or whatever else seems negative in our lives. He does it in order to make us lose confidence in the love and the care of our Heavenly Father. Satan will try every means possible to discourage, to deter us, reminding us of defeats, of dangers, and setting every possible object in our way to destroy our assurance in Christ. The helmet of salvation is the guarantee of divine protection and ultimate deliverance. The future of the Christian's life is secure because salvation in the past and in the future has been given by God. Salvation is not only forgiveness of past sins. It's the strength to overcome, even conquer present and future sins. 1 John 1:9 reminds us, promises us, that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As we read last week from Romans 8, we have confidence that absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God. If God is for us, it does not matter who is against us. And finally, the sword of the Spirit. This sword pictures the offensive weapon that God provides every Christian. Hebrews 4:12 describes the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, this way. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The sword of the Spirit is God's word, the Bible. When he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, Jesus used the sword of the Spirit and defeated the enemy. Three times in Luke chapter 4, Jesus said, "It is written." Satan also quoted scriptures, but he misquoted them. Satan tries to use the word of God to confuse us. So it is important that we know every word that God has given us. Someone has said, "You can prove anything by the Bible." And this is true. If you take verses out of context, if you misquote them, you leave out words, or inappropriately apply them. So the better one knows and understands Scripture, the easier it will be to recognize Satan's lies and reject his lying offers. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." To handle a sword, one needs to practice daily. Similarly, to handle the word of truth, the Bible, you need to spend time in the Bible daily, reading it, thinking about what is there. The armor of God, the belt of truth, we must know God's truth. We need to know the Bible. Not just Pastor Steve, not just the leaders in the church, but everyone. And we must live a life of truth. The breastplate of righteousness. We are righteous in God's eyes because of Jesus Christ. But we also must live a life of righteousness or holy life. The shoes of the gospel of peace. Believers are at peace with God. We need to share the gospel of peace with others. The shield of faith. We need to trust in the promises of God. And faith protects us from Satan's attacks. The helmet of salvation, realize that nothing can separate the believer from the love of God. And the sword of the Spirit is the Bible. And believers must spend time in the Bible daily so you know what's there. If you think about it, throughout his letters, Paul wrote a great deal about fighting, about commitment, about disciplined living. But he said nothing about surrendering. Christians are in a battle to the end. We are never out of reach of Satan's attacks.
So we must never be without the whole armor of God. But armor doesn't do any good if it isn't on or you don't know how to use it. Every day, take time to put on the armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, and then learn how to use each piece. Paul wrote a challenge to the Romans, which I think is appropriate for us. Turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, begin verse 11. Romans 13, begin verse 11. Romans 13, verse 11, Paul writes, "But do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." By faith, put on the armor of God. Walk as God would have you to walk, and trust in Him for your victory. In Romans 3:21, Jesus promised, "To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." So put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand your ground. Let's pray. Lord, help us in our busy world, in our hectic world, to take time to put on the armor, but also, Lord, to learn about it and how to use it. Help us, Lord, especially to know your word, to study the Bible, so that we can discern what is right and what is wrong. Lord, help our lives to be a testimony to others of what a Christian, what a child of God is really all about. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.